The second exercise concerned a particular case of the wave equation. Let's see, let us put it like this. Because you notice in the wave equation we have a Laplacian here in the space coordinate. We shall see this in more detail. And of course a second derivative in time. So let's see v non-zero, which will be the velocity actually, the norm of the velocity. V C2 function over R3 bounded such that u x y z t is equal to v of x y z minus ct, and suppose that this is a solution to this wave equation in R3 times 0 plus infinity. Assume that for all z in R and t positive fixed, u x y z t goes to 0 as rho goes to plus infinity, where rho is the norm of the vector x y, this subvector here. Then u must be identically 0. So this was an application of Liouville theorem, because the idea is if you define tau to be z minus ct, u x y z t is equal to v x y tau. Then by the chain rule, the second derivative of u in z is equal to the second derivative of v in tau, and the second derivative of u in time is in t, sorry, is equal to c squared the second derivative of v in tau. But therefore, since u satisfies by assumption is a solution of the wave equation, and the second derivative of u in z is equal to this part simplifies because the second derivative of u in z is equal to the second derivative of v in tau. The second derivative of u in t is equal to the second derivative of u v in tau times c squared and 1 over c squared simplify, so this part cancels out. So the fact that u is a solution of the wave equation gives us that v is an harmonic function in R2 for every tau fixed. This means, since v is bounded, this is one of the assumptions, so it was important, you had to use it, therefore Liouville theorem implies that v must be constant in x and y in R2. And so, if it is constant in x and y, is only a function of tau. So vx and y, tau is equal to some g of tau for some bounded function c2 over r. But now, g of tau, which is g of z minus ct, is equal to v of x, y, z minus ct. Okay, but this is equal to u, x, y, z, t, by definition. And this is going to zero as the norm of x, y, so square root of x squared plus y squared, goes to plus infinity. For all z in r and t positive. But here there is no dependence on x and y, as we proved. And therefore, the only conclusion is that g must be identically equal to zero. Let us come now to the third exercise, which was a somewhat explicit formulation of Harnack's inequality in the case of a very nice open set, that is, the ball centered in the origin with radius on r positive. So if u is c2 in this ball, and it is harmonic and non-negative, then u of x is controlled by the value of u in the origin times this constant, this function, depending on r and the norm of x, for all x in b0r. The hint was, use Poisson formula for the ball. If u is c2 in some ball b0s and continuous up to the boundary, then u of x is equal to s squared minus norm of x squared over n omega n s, integral over the boundary of b0, s u of y divided by norm of x minus y to the power n in the s of y for all x in b0s. Now, the point is that u is c2 in b0r, period. You don't know that u is continuous up to the boundary of this ball, so you cannot directly use Poisson formula for s equal r. This is a mistake. Because if you don't have continuity, a priori you cannot say that this formula holds. And for these continuous functions, there are counterexamples. However, for all s small than r, it works. And for all s small than, because for all s small than r, u is c2 in b0r, so it's particular c2 b0s and continuous up to the boundary. Therefore, fixed x in b0r, x will belong to b0s for some s between r and the norm of x, because the norm of x is strictly s than r, so there is always some space here. Therefore, for these values of s, we get u of x less equal to this is less equal than this, because we use the reverse triangle inequality, that is, the norm of x minus y is larger or equal than the norm of y minus the norm of x, because the norm of x is less than s, and on the sphere with radius s, the norm of y is s. But now this term is constant, so we bring it outside. We factorize s squared minus norm of x squared in s minus norm of x times s plus norm of x, simplify one of the two, and we're right here. We notice that it would be nice to have the average integral over here, so we multiply and divide by s to the n minus 2, and we get also this factor. And now here, again, it's important that we are working in a ball B0s strictly smaller than, I mean, strictly contained in B0r, for s strictly less than r, because we are going to use the average property of harmonic functions on the surface of on the spheres. That is, this average integral is equal to a value of u in the center of this ball, which is the origin. And so we get u of 0. And then one could say, but s is less than r, so let's put r. And here, however, you cannot do it. But how to conclude? Well, the first here, the left-hand side does not depend on s. This function is clearly continuous. Actually, you can also say here, it's continuous in s. We can take any s as close to r as we want, so we push s to r minus, and we are done. The lower bound can be obtained in a similar way. Again, x in B0r are fixed, so we take s here. This time, in the denominator inside the integral, we get we use the usual triangle inequality, so to get s plus norm of x, bring outside, they factorize, etc. Multiply by s to the n over 2 above and below to get the average integral, mean value property. And again, this does not depend on s, so push s to r minus, we are done. This last step was not really necessary, it's enough to stop here and take this, but I put it for fun. Now, one might wonder, okay, that's all very nice, but how do we actually get the Harnack's inequality? Because Harnack's inequality tells says that the maximum is controlled by the infimum over the closure of any set compactly contained inside your domain. Okay then, so let V be an open set compactly contained in B0R. Let x1 and x2 in the closure of V such that u of x1 is equal to the maximum of u over the closure of V, and u of x2 is equal to the minimum of u over the closure of V. Via Stas theorem ensures that this x1, x2 exists because this is a compact inside B0R. Very well, but then, thanks to exercise 3, we have that the maximum over V of u is equal to u of x1. Therefore, this is controlled by r to the n minus 2, r plus norm of x1, divided by r minus the norm of x1 to the n minus 1, u of 0. But now, this is telling us that u of x is controlled in terms of u of 0, but then, since the inequality is from above and from below, u of 0 is controlled by u of x. And therefore, the trick is simply use the other inequality, with this time with x2, to make here appear u of x2. So we will multiply by r plus norm of x2 to the power n minus 1 divided by r minus norm of x2 times r to the n minus 2. So this factor cancels out. We get this function of r, x1 and x2 times the minimum of u over the closure of v. And now this is an somewhat more explicit constant. And notice, in the proof of general Harnack inequality, the point is, I want to connect with some segments, the point where is the maximum and the point where is the minimum. Here it's telling you, when you are inside the ball, it's enough to pass from the point of the maximum to the center and then to the minimum, the point of the minimum. Which makes sense somehow, because the symmetry, I mean, the ball has a center, no? I mean, then there is this nice inequality that tells you that, yeah, you can actually do it. Now, you could tell me, this requires that I actually find this point to have here a constant. It doesn't seem so nice. True. However, if you want somehow a nicer constant, maybe though less precise, of course, since V is compactly contained in B0R, in particular, V must have some distance from the boundary of B0R, which means V will be contained in B0S for some S less than R. Therefore, this function can be control from above by r plus s divided by r minus s to the power n, because the norm of x1 and the norm of x2 are both less equal than less than s. And so, to increase the numerator, simply put s, and we are done. The denominator, to decrease the denominator, because to get the larger fraction we need to decrease the denominator, we need to take the largest possible value of x2 and x1, which is s. And so, so that the r minus s becomes as small as possible. And so we're done.